This is the last, this is part four of this series. We've been talking about from old to new. And today's is titled, Becoming a Product of God's Love. Okay? And we've been looking at Romans 5, so let's look at that again, okay? Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, or hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Okay? So we've gone over verses 1 and 2 the past 2 weeks, and we're going to go into verses 3 through 5. So, becoming a product, the word product comes from the word produce, and you see the word produce in verses 3 and 4, right? Suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope. And then it says God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Okay? We're going to talk about... Anyways, and I'm going to use a story from the Old Testament to kind of illustrate this, okay? So Genesis 37... So as you guys know, Genesis 37 through 50, the last fourth of Genesis, is about, the central character there is Joseph, okay? And so we're going to start with Joseph when he's age 17. So this is what it says. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Okay? So Joseph was one of 12 children. Okay? And he was the second youngest. Now, Israel is his dad, Jacob. That's the other name for Jacob. It says, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him, right? And I think Broadway has turned it into like a technicolor robe, right? The robe of many colors. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. And he said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Okay. And this dream that he had, guys, the narrator doesn't say it, but we know that it's from the Lord because it gets fulfilled in Genesis 45. Okay? His brothers and his parents actually come down and bow before him because he's the second to the Pharaoh. So, I'm just going to draw a timeline of Joseph's life here, okay? So, here's a timeline. He was born, and at 17, okay, what happens is that his brothers hate him so much that at a certain point, they capture him, and they decide to kill him. Okay? But instead of killing him, they decide to just sell him as a slave. Okay? So he goes into slavery, and he's sold as a slave, okay? And he ends up at this man named Potiphar, and he's a servant in Potiphar's house. And what happens is that he's doing very well there, okay? And Potiphar really likes him because it says that God was with Joseph and Joseph made everything succeed. But Potiphar's wife wanted to sleep with him, okay? And then when he refused, okay, his wife told Potiphar that this guy was trying to rape me. So then Potiphar threw him in prison. So he ends up in prison. And while he's in prison, he interprets two dreams, okay? And what happens is that the dreams come true. And so one of them, one of the people who has the dream and is released, Joseph says, please remember me. Please remember me. But the guy totally forgets about Joseph, okay? And so he stays in prison, and then, so in prison he has two dreams. And when he's 30 years old, Pharaoh has a bad dream, okay? And so Pharaoh's like, he's very disturbed, and he wants someone to interpret his dreams. And no one can. And the guy that was in prison was the Pharaoh's cupbearer, okay? And he says, oh, I know a guy who can interpret dreams. And so they bring Joseph out, and Joseph interprets the dream. And he becomes second. He becomes kind of the greatest man in Egypt. Okay, you guys, most of you know this story, right?
Yeah. Yes.
If you've been Christian for a while, or if you went to Sunday school, okay. Now, here's the thing, guys. This whole time, God loves Joseph. Yeah. God does not change, okay? But it's only at age 17, Joseph becomes aware of God's presence in his life, okay? And the reason is because until then, okay, I'm going to say that he was a product, Joseph was a product of the imperfect love of his dad. That was the main thing that characterized his life, was the imperfect love of his dad. Now, dads, parents loving their kids is a good thing, okay? Right? But the way that Jacob loved his son was imperfect. So it says he loved his son more than the other children, okay? And so what should have been a good thing turned into a really, really bad thing. Okay? And so we see this in Joseph's life and his brother's life. So we see that it led to family tension. His brothers hated him, okay? And he in turn brought bad report about them. He was constantly telling his dad they're goofing off, basically. Okay? It leads to family violence. Okay? His brothers won't actually kill him, and it's only one brother that keeps him from killing him, and they sell him as a slave. That's crazy, okay? And so it leads, this seemingly good thing turns into a really, really horrible thing, okay? And this is, okay, this is how life works, okay? Apart from God, what we think is good, okay? Because it's imperfect, it can turn like that, okay? It leads to a huge amount of grief, okay? When Jacob, when he learns that, well, basically the brothers tell him that your son Joseph died, it leads to a tremendous amount of grief. For the brothers, it leads to a whole lot of guilt, okay? And for Joseph, it could have led to a lot of bitterness in his heart and wanting revenge. Okay? But what happens is, what the Bible says is that, and this is what Joseph says at the end, is that when when his brother sold him as a slave, it wasn't actually them, it was God sending Joseph ahead of them. Okay? And so what happens is that here, until the age of 17, he was a product of the imperfect love. And at age 17, is when his suffering started. Okay? Yeah. Is when he becomes a product of God's love. Okay. And so we're going to ask those questions like, so how do we become products of God's love? Okay? And so, let's just pause here for a second and let's just think about our own lives. Think about ourselves for a second, okay? So I am also a product, or I was, okay? I became a Christian when I was 18 years old, but until then, I was a product of the environment that I was in, okay? And my family, we were an immigrant family, okay? My family, it was not a happy family, okay? So that's how my family functioned, okay? My parents fought a lot, okay? We had a lot of stress in our house. We had a lot of financial stress in our house, and my parents fought a lot. My dad was, he worked a lot, okay? So it wasn't necessarily like the presence of this imperfect love. I didn't really have like, there was an absence of love, right? So, you know, you might have heard this like, did your parents ever say, I love you, and did they hug you and stuff, you know? Asian family, we don't do that, right? It's like Asian family is like, not bad, they say not bad, that's like really good, right? So that's what I grew up in, right? And then when your parents don't have a good marriage, and it affects how they relate with you, and so the way they related with me was also broken, and so I was a product of that, okay? And so all of us, even those of us who've grown up in maybe the ideal setting with awesome parents, okay, we're the product of, at best, imperfect love, okay? And what Romans 5 says, it's a crazy thing. In verse 5, it says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Okay? God's love. Okay? Let's just take that in for a second. All right? When you became a Christian, okay? It says, God poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And what that means is, you might not, some of us might have never felt the love of God. That's okay, okay? But what it means is, okay, that there's different ways of living this Christian life. And there's a part of it where we live by faith, right? So we're justified by faith, okay? We have access to God through faith. But this thing called God's love being poured out into our hearts, it's there, it's meant so that we know the love of God from the inside. It's a direct revelation of his love, okay? It's not like saying, this good thing happened to me yesterday, and this good thing happened to me today, so based on that, I deduce or I infer that God loves me, okay? There's part of our faith where we have to do that, okay? But then there's another part of the Christian life where the Spirit bears witness that we are children of God. Okay? And so this is the direct revelation of God's love, okay? And this, I mentioned this even at the risk of maybe some of us who might not feel that. It's okay. You just have to know that this is possible. Okay? And what happened is that Joseph, when he became a slave And he went through 13 years of suffering, okay? You know what in Genesis it says that God was with him. And God showed his steadfast love to him, okay? And it was during this time that God revealed the steadfast love, okay? So I want us to have a category in the Christian life that it's not when things go well that we know God's love, okay? In fact, it's when we're suffering, okay? These are the times when God reveals that direct love to us, okay? Knowing this love of God, I want to just say one more thing here, okay? Because it doesn't matter, like, if you had parents that loved you, okay? You could be the most hard-hearted person, okay? The most miserable, bitter person, okay? You might have had the worst background ever, okay? You don't have to get all healed up to know the love of God, okay? Because the love of God gets poured out into everyone's hearts, okay? And now, how do we experience this love of God, right? Let's turn to the Genesis, okay? The interesting thing about the one thing that struck me in Genesis 37 is that the thing that his dad gave Joseph was this robe, right? Was this robe of many colors. And Joseph wore this robe, okay? But when his brothers sold him as a slave, you know what the Bible says? They stripped him of it. They stripped him of that robe, okay? And because I think they were so sick and tired of seeing him with that robe, okay? Because it symbolized this imperfect love that was at the heart of the dysfunction, of the family's dysfunction. What happens? Okay, so I'm kind of tying Romans 5 and Genesis 37 together, right? It says, Paul says that we boast in our suffering, okay? Because we know that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, okay? And here's the thing, guys, is that there is a hidden power of God inside the suffering. It's not like readily visible. Okay, when we suffer, we're not like, oh yeah, God's power is at work. It doesn't work like that. Okay, you kind of have to. There's a way that we have to use our. This is when we use our faith. We use our minds. We have to say, okay, because it says knowing that it produces. Okay, and there's a way that the power of God through suffering. It's a very thorough process, and what it does is it separates out the old from the new. Okay, it basically helps us to take off the robe that we wear. Okay, the robe that symbolizes the imperfect love. It shakes that off. The suffering has a way of doing that. Okay, and it allows this new thing to emerge. Okay, that is produced by God's love, okay? And that's what happened to Joseph. Joseph had to get stripped from this imperfect love. If that didn't happen, Joseph would have kept living under this imperfect love of his dad. And he would have never known the love of God, okay? And that's why when suffering comes, Paul says we boast in it, we rejoice in it, because we know that through it, God's hidden power starts transforming us, okay? Now Joseph, it's interesting, okay? Because Joseph got stripped of this love, of the imperfect love of God, okay? You know what could have easily happened? Is that he started to do well under these new masters, okay? Under Potiphar, in prison, Pharaoh, okay? He could have easily lived for their approval. But he didn't. Because what happened is that, and I'm going to call it being separated out. He got separated out unto the love of God. Okay? He got separated from the imperfect love, and then he got separated unto the love of God, where it was the love of God that was the biggest thing in his life. Okay? That became the biggest factor in his life. Okay? So, It's not just about being separated from the imperfect love. We have to find the perfect love of God, okay? And that's why at VCF, okay, we talk about devotions a lot, okay? Have you guys heard about devotions? I've been coming to VCF for any length of time that we always talk about doing your devotions, right? Spending time with God, okay? Why do we spend time with God? Okay? It's not because that's the way to be a good Christian. It's not like this checklist we do. Yeah, I spent an hour with God. Check. Okay? I'm a devoted Christian. It's not about that. We spend time with God to become separated out unto the love of God. So that we're not controlled by the imperfect love. Okay? Along the way, we hit trials and tribulations and suffering, okay? And that helps to shake this off, okay? You know, last week I shared about, for those of you who were here last week, I shared about how when I started working, my CEO yelled at me. You guys remember that? Okay, so this is what happened, right? So I was on my break, because you're allowed to take breaks at work. Okay, you're not a machine. So I was at work, I was talking with the receptionist, okay? And I was asking her, how are things going, you know? And my CEO happened to walk by, and he said, he didn't like what I was doing, so he said, you should not be talking to her. Like, you should be minding your own business and go back, you know, do your own work, right? So I went back to my work, and then a few hours later, I had to go to the restroom, okay? And so I went to the restroom, which was, you have to go through the hallway. And then he saw me walking to the restroom. And he's like, he sees me, he's like, why do I see you in the hallway all the time? You know? And I told you guys, you know, after that, I was scared to go to the restroom. Okay? I would be looking out left and right. He's not here. Back, okay? And then he tried to get me fired the next morning. But then thankfully my boss said, okay, it's okay, Jihong's doing an okay job. Because I didn't get fired, okay? Now what happened is that by God's grace, that the CEO started to have favor upon me, okay? Because he could tell that, again, there were a few things that I did that went really well, okay? So, I started to earn favor with him. And so there was this temptation to like become his, like, what's the right word? It's like a teacher's pet, right? But like the CEO's pet, okay? But you see, like I knew I'm not there to earn his love, okay? And I know a lot of people, like that's what they do. They go to work and they try to please their boss and they're not able to stand for anything, okay? But I've been steadily growing as a Christian, okay? And so I knew I'm not there to, you know, to earn his love. I'm there to be a Christian. I'm there to be a witness, okay? And so, and even though he had his good and his bad side and I was in his graces, there came a point where I had to take a stand, You know? So what happened is that, as you can tell, like if he's yelling at me, he had a temper. Okay? He had a bad temper. Okay? So anything pissed him off, you know? And so what happened is that he and our VP, our best VP, would fight a lot. Okay? And one day it was so bad, it was really, really bad, that like, it was very distracting to everyone. And basically what was going to happen was that the CEO was going to fire him the next day. Okay, so you, and I knew this would be really, really bad for the company. Okay? And so I could see it happening, and I knew I had a limited amount of time. So I went home, and I knew the next day, the VP would get fired, okay, for no good reason. And so, as I prayed to God, it's like, God, what do I do? What should I do, you know? I mean, God said, you have to tell the CEO not to do this, okay? And so I got up, and I typed him an email. I said, look, and I said, the Bible says that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, okay? What that means is that when you do something, when you're angry, even though it seems so right, it'll never produce a good result. You'll just feel good about it, okay, in the moment, but it will not turn out good. So I explained that to him, and I said, look, I know you're pissed, the guy is pissed, but this will not do the company any good, okay? And so I typed it up, and guys, it was very hard pressing send on that email. I don't know what, even though I built up a relationship, to tell your CEO, don't do this, okay? But I did it, you know? And when I went to work, I was like, oh crud. Like, what's going to happen to me, you know? Like, what's going to happen when he sees me in the office, you know? So I went to my office, and I was waiting, and he came into my office, you know? And he said, you know what, thank you for the email. Thank you for the email. I'm not going to fire him, you know? And then he basically said, like, he let it go, and he basically said something like, God has helped me. Something like that, you know, like in his own way. Okay? And I just share that because, not to boast about myself, but just that this is what happens, guys, when we have a revelation of ourselves, okay? And so I want to just I'm going to pause for a second, okay? So just, you guys have to think of yourselves, okay? And God wants to make you a product of his love. Okay? But there's so many things that we tug ourselves into besides God's love. Okay? And so the thing is that we have to untug ourselves. Okay? And God uses suffering to do that. And we have to plug ourselves into the love of God. Okay? I'll just end with this. Hebrews 12 talks about the discipline of God. Okay? And what it says is that don't take it lightly, guys, when God is disciplining you. Because actually, that's a sign of his love. Okay? When things are not going well for you, when you feel the discipline of God, when you feel the suffering, okay, God's love is there. The hidden power of God is right there for you. What it says is that we're to be subject to it, and we become trained by it. Okay? What that means is when we're going through hard things, okay, we don't take it as a sign of his rejection. Okay? We look for his love, because his love has been poured out into our hearts. And we have to find what is he doing, and we get trained by it. And that's how suffering produces endurance, okay, which means a steadfastness That means we don't just quit, we keep going. That produces character. It separates out the old from the new, so that the new, our new self in Christ emerges more and more. That produces hope. Okay? In such a way that it does not disappoint us or put to shame, okay? So, I think I have three questions there. Yeah? So the three questions are, for your small group, what is, from what I've shared from the scriptures here, what is something God has for you? Okay. God always has something for us. Okay. What is that thing that God has for you? And these are the questions that we ask at BCF. Okay. If that is what God has for you, what has prevented you from experiencing it? Okay, what's the barrier? You know? And hopefully, God will give you a revelation. Oh, that's what it is. And then what is the key to experiencing that, to receiving what God has? And in the key, there's a way that we're to live our lives differently in the light of God. So what will you do differently, okay? So those are the questions. Okay?